Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, this is great. I got some great messages from some friends in the Scobie and Plentywood areas yesterday, and they said, hey, we got a guy who wants to get the word out, wants to get some news out there. When can he join you on the show? I said, man, have him call in Friday, because we've got open lines Friday on this Freedom Friday. Anybody can call into the show and be heard all across Montana. But great to have Kirk in Plentywood, kicking off the show for us here this morning. Kirk, thanks for calling in. I understand you've got a big event honoring Charlie Kirk this weekend in Plentywood, right?
That's correct. It'll be the 28th at 2 p.m.
Give us more details about the event and why you feel like having this Charlie Kirk Memorial Walk is so important.
So it's going to start at the county courthouse and go down to the town square in Plentywood, which is roughly maybe two or three blocks. People that aren't able to walk that far just show up at the town square. And as to the reason why, I listen to Charlie Kirk quite a bit through different social medias. I'm 67, and he had an impact, you know, on my life, so... I just felt the need to honor him, you know, and bring awareness. There's also some people in Scobie that wanted to start a Turning Point USA kind of multi-county chapter. So that came about. There's a gentleman in Scobie,
I think you might have muted yourself there, Kirk. I think you might have hit the mute button on your cell phone for a second. You went silent.
We'll get together.
There we go. We got you now.
We're going to have people there. You're willing to bring anything you want to share. It started out just sort of a small thing, and I think it's blowing up, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, I tell you, I was in Lake County in Ronan last Sunday, and they were talking about the Charlie Kirk Celebration of Life in Polson, and they had 400-plus people show up at that the same day that I think we had a similar number show up at Sykes Diner in Kalispell. And then, of course, the Turning Point USA event at Montana State University was supposed to feature the one and only Charlie Kirk coming up on October 7th, but that event is still going on. Vivek Ramaswamy will be at MSU on October 7th. I plan on being at that one as well. All right, Kirk, about 30 seconds before we go to the break, what do you want to tell folks all across Montana?
I just want people to educate themselves, possibly listen to some reruns of Charlie Kirk and realize that everybody can have an opinion that isn't a death sentence if we disagree. I'm astounded at the willingness for people to shoot somebody that they don't agree with.
And then the celebrations of that assassination. I don't know if you heard about it. Yeah, no, what a great message there, Kirk. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. In fact, stand by. I'll chat more with you during the break here. We'll be back with Montana Talks right after this. Stand by. Yep.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, Kirk in Plentywood just had some great remarks that he just shared there about how you shouldn't get a bullet just because of your political beliefs. I hope I remembered that quote right. I hope I, you know, captured that quote as well as Kirk shared it there. And Kirk, thanks for calling in from Plentywood. Yeah, again, they're doing that memorial walk for Charlie Kirk, 2 p.m., meeting at the courthouse in Plentywood on Sunday. Phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. Not only should you not get a bullet for sharing your beliefs, but look at these people that are celebrating the fact that Charlie Kirk took a bullet because of what he believes in. And we're talking about college professors, even right here in Montana. And we've talked about this before, but we got to go back to this, because this is also a commentary on the liberal media and how they prop up the worst elements of our society, even right here in Montana. So you guys heard about this MSU Northern professor in Haver. Apparently she's a criminal justice professor who was celebrating this political terrorist assassination on American soil. Look at how many in the Montana media didn't even cover that news, failed to cover that news. Oh, but now, several days later, they're covering for that nutty professor and trying to make her look like a victim now. Hats off to KRTV in Great Falls. They covered this story about this MSU Northern professor, Belimba Brownlee, and how she was busted celebrating the political terrorist assassination on American soil. She's not even a Montanan. She's not even an American citizen. And here she is celebrating a political terrorist assassination on American soil. Now, KRTV had that story several days ago. I don't recall KTVQ Television, which is a sister station of KRTV, ever sharing the KRTV story. Oh, but now, several days after the fact, KTVQ copies and pastes a liberal blog on their website that was written by basically a Democrat Party blog it's a fake news website funded by Democrat Party mega donors. It's been exposed by Axios. They've been exposed by, you know, groups at Harvard. They've been exposed by OpenSecrets.org. We had Montana's Solicitor General Christian Corrigan join us on the show and expose this fake news Democrat front group website. And yet here is KTVQ Television and so many of these liberal media outlets in Montana. They will copy and paste fake news stories from these organizations onto their websites and then cite them in their newscasts oftentimes. The author of this fake news piece trying to make, and the Liberal Lee newspapers did the same thing. The Liberal Lee newspapers refused to cover the story about the MSU Northern professor who was celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk, who, by the way, has been placed on leave. KRTV reported that. I confirmed that same fact with the Office of Commissioner of Higher Education as well. So the professor is placed on leave, but there's a lot of us who say, take her visa away. Kick her out of this country. She is not even a U.S. citizen. She is not a Montanan. She is celebrating a political terrorist assassination on American soil. Get her out of this country. I know good Canadians who were not allowed to stay in the United States of America for whatever reason. And they had to go back home to Canada, even though they were good business owners, people of faith, good people, you name it. And they had to go back to Canada because our government said, we don't need you here. So why in the world would some nutty professor who celebrated a political terrorist assassination on American soil be allowed to stay here in the United States of America? But this is what this liberal blogger said in this whole piece, trying to paint the woman who celebrated an assassination as a victim. This is the quote. How influencers with large followings targeted Montanans. And they were calling out libs of TikTok, and the Montana Sentinel did a great job covering that story as well. How influencers with large followings targeted Montanans. The nutty professor who celebrated a political terrorist assassination on American soil is not a Montanan. She's not even American. And yet these fake news blogs can't even get their basic facts right. But we would expect that of a political party front group blog that's paid for by their party mega donors. But let's go back to these so-called mainstream media outlets. Why is Scripps TV stations, you'll even see it sometimes in the Bozeman Chronicle or in the Liberal Lee newspapers and elsewhere, they will copy and paste that exact same source into their newspapers and onto their TV station websites as if it's actual news. KTVQ, for example, they have some really good reporters at KTVQ. Why don't you have your team of reporters cover a story for like this? Instead, you cover for this nutty professor by copying and pasting some front group liberal blog onto your news website as if it's actually news. And then people wonder why there is zero trust in the mainstream media, not just in America, but in Montana as well. It's examples like this. And by the way, they know what they're doing. People have reached out to them and said, why do you guys quote these guys? Why do you guys use these stories on your website? They don't care. And if you look at the Scripps TV company, I mean, it's a far-left company pushing the BLM movement, pushing the woke agenda and everything else. So apparently, these digital editors think that they'll get rewarded by the woke left company for pushing this fake news.
Did you know?
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Speaking of news and what makes the news, what doesn't make the news, covering the news versus covering for some of the people in the news, some breaking news out of Missoula and the district court there. I haven't seen this anywhere in the news yet. Maybe somebody's got a news story up. I didn't see one earlier this morning. I first heard the news during Jeff Lasloffy's radio update. Jeff Lasloffy is, of course, the president of the Montana Family Foundation. But this is big news. And big thanks to Montana's Attorney General Austin Knutson. So we've seen time and time again here in Montana where you the people, we elect legislators. We send them to Helena to advocate on our behalf. We send them there with a clear agenda. They vote to pass that agenda, by and large, right? There's not all the time. And then the governor, who we the people elected, signs those bills into law or vetoes those bills. When it used to be in Montana that some of the what they call the social issues, you know, would sometimes divide, you know, conservatives. But the economic issues were what united conservatives. Well, man, you know, even in a divided, or you might say divisive legislative session, the social issues have been something that's united most of the Republicans and most of the conservatives in the legislature. So the majority in the legislature very clearly got the message from the people of Montana. We have got to protect girls' sports. We've got to protect women's sports. We also should protect women's privacy and privacy for these girls, to where they shouldn't have a man go into their locker room, a man go into the girls' bathroom. We should have protections in place against that, and the legislature delivered. And yet, what do we see happen time and time again? A liberal judge comes in and says, nope, I don't like that. And so they abuse their position of power on the bench to overturn common sense laws that get put on the books. It's why these judicial elections next year and the Supreme Court election of Judge Dan Wilson, if you ask me, is so important heading into next year. But Attorney General Austin Knutson, good job on his part. He was calling out this far-left activist LGBTQ RSTLNE judge in Missoula for being way too biased to handle one of these cases. So here is Jeff Lasloffy with the big breaking news. Jeff is the president of the Montana Family Foundation.
After digging in his heels and crying foul, a Missoula District Court judge yesterday succumbed to pressure and recused himself from a case in which he arguably displayed judicial bias. It all began several weeks ago, as we reported, when Attorney General Austin Knutson filed a motion to force District Court Judge Shane Vanetta to recuse himself from a case involving transgender use of private spaces, including restrooms and locker rooms. Vanetta, Montana's only openly homosexual judge, is seen by many on the right as an advocate for LGBT causes, who regularly uses his seat on the bench to push a woke political agenda. Mysteriously, in recent years, case after case involving sexual orientation and gender identity have landed in Judge Vanetta's courtroom, where he predictably and dependably rules in favor of the left. Not surprising, since he sat on the American Bar Association's Commission on Sexual Orientation and Gender Identity. In that role, he was an active advocate for the LGBT community. In his motion to recuse, Attorney General Knutson cited the Montana Code of Judicial Conduct, which states that judges should maintain the dignity of judicial judicial office at all times and avoid both impropriety and the appearance of impropriety in their professional and personal lives. The complaint then went on to list several instances from Judge Vanetta's social media accounts where they allege he crossed the line from impartiality into advocacy. In one instance, the Attorney General points to an article in Time magazine entitled Gender Laws Are at Odds with Science. The gist of the article, in the opinion of its author, is that the legal recognition of only two biological sexes is incongruous with science. Vanetta shared that article on his Facebook page, said the article was a fascinating article written by a California judge, and then liked comments that agreed with the article's perspectives. In his response to the Attorney General's allegations, Vanetta wrote that after, quote, deconstructing the state's allegations, an average person would likely not reasonably question Judge Vanetta's lack of bias or prejudice in the subject case. The quote-unquote facts alleged by the state attempting to show Judge Vanetta's personal bias or prejudice are exceedingly thin, end quote. Remember, this is Judge Vanetta writing in the third person about himself. On the contrary, I would argue, based on the evidence presented by the Attorney General and on the logic and wording of Judge Vanetta's rulings in similar cases, that an average person would find plenty of reasons to question Judge Vanetta's claims of judicial impartiality. Back for a moment to the Montana Code of Judicial Conduct, which says that a judge shall disqualify himself or herself in any proceeding in which the judge's impartiality might reasonably be questioned. As mentioned earlier, it's not simply an act of impropriety, but the mere appearance of impropriety that should lead to recusal. I would argue that in this case, we have both actual and perceived impropriety. The judge then goes on to intimate that he is particularly well qualified to oversee this case simply because he's homosexual, saying, quote, Judge Vanetta brings a wealth of experience to the bench. Such experience may be different than that brought to the bench by other heterosexual members of the bench. However, such experience does not presume bias or prejudice, absent some statement or conduct. After listing all of the reasons that the recusal was not justified, Judge Vanetta did the right thing and recused himself. Hopefully, we'll get a truly impartial judge to replace him.
All right, there you go. That was the radio legislative update that some of you may have heard air earlier this morning and on stations across the state of Montana. But, yeah, that is a big news update there. After being called out for his overwhelming bias, as you just heard documented there. Again, it's not about his lifestyle or whatever he does in his personal life. It's about his open bias and frankly, hostility to the other side, which is the reason why that judge should have recused himself. And so thankfully, after fighting it, he did finally recuse himself. I think also what's going on here is that liberal judge in Missoula also realizes that we still have a left-wing mob in charge of our Montana Supreme Court right now. So I think he just figured, okay, I can bow this one out. You know, there's a chance it could go to some other liberal judge in Montana that will make the same irrational decision. And even if not, it'll go to the Montana Supreme Court where you've got a bunch of left-wing ideologues on there that will still abuse their positions of power to override common sense as well. So he just decided to sit this one out. But either way, good job to Attorney General Austin Knutson for standing up for what is right and for holding this judge accountable and leading to this eventual recusal, because it's just a massive slap in the face. All these people who scream democracy while they throw the democratic process in the trash can with ruling after ruling after ruling. Good to see Attorney General Austin Knutson holding them accountable and forcing some change here. And hopefully this is another reminder to people all across Montana just how important these judicial elections are. Hey, we got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. We've got the phone lines open for the full hour here with one frago. The one frago that we've got for you is, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Yesterday, the governor was at a big groundbreaking ceremony in Thompson Falls. Very cool news here that the governor attending the groundbreaking ceremony for the renewed operation and expansion of the USAC mine near Thompson Falls. So we've got a guest. I think it's the vice president of the USAC is going to join us here in just a few minutes, talking about this big news out of Thompson Falls and the groundbreaking ceremony. To me, you know, this is a part of what we've been talking about right here on this program, which is making mining in Montana great again, making mining in America great again, making our timber industry great again, and also bringing back high-wage jobs to rural parts of western Montana that have just been hammered by these extreme environmentalists and by these far-left judges and justices as well. So here is some good news. Looking forward to catching up with the VP of that company here in just a few minutes. But, yeah, phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. We opened up the show with a caller from Plentywood talking about the political violence that we're seeing continue all across America. And anyway, what does this all mean with President Trump's new executive order to go after these far-left violent extremist groups like Antifa? I've got a soundbite here from Vice President J.D. Vance I could play, but let's hold that for a moment because we got a caller on the phone lines. Caden, go ahead and send us Russell from Columbia Falls. We'll get Russell on here before we get to the break. Russell, we got about a minute or so before the break. What's on your mind? Thanks for calling in.
Well, I just wanted to call and ask if anybody really believes that judges don't have biases. Anybody that believes that's just simply a fool. And we need to know those biases before we are expected to vote for them.
Well, we all have biases, right? I don't care who you are. We all have a bias. And a good judge would recognize, hey, I have some personal biases here. How do I protect against that when I'm trying to make a fair decision? That's what a good judge would do, right?
Yeah. And you know, they're free to excuse themselves, but they need to tell us what their biases are. This idea of asking a judge who is campaigning for office what his biases are, and him saying, I'm not expected to tell you. That's baloney.
Yeah, even though he publicized it on social media for all to see, and then still tried to fight being forced to recuse himself from the case. Great point, Russell. Russell, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. We got another caller in Columbia Falls on the line. Caden will patch TJ through during the break, and TJ, you'll be first up right after this.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
Yesterday, President Donald Trump said the U.S. government will channel some of the money collected from tariffs back to farmers. He framed it as a way to help offset the struggles caused by low crop prices and ongoing trade disputes. Republican lawmakers have warned that farmers are facing steep financial losses this year. They've urged the administration to roll out relief measures by the end of the year to prevent deeper damage to the agricultural economy. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins confirmed the administration is considering an aid program. It would be modeled after previous efforts during Trump's first term, when billions of dollars were paid to farmers to cushion the blow from the trade war with China. The president acknowledged that farmers will face hardship in the near term, saying they are for a little while going to be hurt, end quote. But he insisted that once the tariffs, quote unquote, kick in, they would benefit producers and eventually make farmers a fortune, end quote. Also, I'd just like to invite you to join Western Ag Network's Russell Nimitz and I. This coming Saturday, we'll be broadcasting live from the Rockin' R Bar in downtown Bozeman, covering the MSU Homecoming Parade. You can join us in person or watch on the Western Ag Network YouTube or Facebook channels. No matter where you watch it, online or in person, we will have some great prizes that you can enter to win. A lot of great guests as well. Again, that will take place 9 a.m. Saturday morning at the Rockin' R Bar in Bozeman. I'm Lane Northlawn.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got a great guest that we're going to sneak on here in just a couple of minutes. Yeah, when I saw this news that Governor Greg Gianforte was attending a groundbreaking ceremony for a mine in Thompson Falls, I was like, oh, man, we got to see if we can get these guys on the show, because this is just the type of news that we as Montanans want to hear. High-wage jobs in rural parts of western Montana, making mining in America great again, all the above. We're going to get to Jeff Fink, the vice president and the project manager for the Thompson Falls expansion project here shortly. Let me see if we can sneak in a couple callers here first. TJ in Columbia Falls, what did you want to share this morning? Thanks for the call.
Yeah, absolutely, man. First time listener. I agree with the vast majority of what you're saying as far as the radical left and Charlie's assassination and obviously the craziness that brought upon us as a nation. One of the things I think is really important to remember is that, at least in my opinion, we all have a lot more in common with each other across the aisle, but we always see the craziest of crazy as the algorithms and these media conglomerates get the biggest reaction out of showing us the wildest stuff. But, you know, in my experience, you sit down with your neighbor who maybe voted differently than you, and ultimately we have a whole lot in common. So I kind of just wanted to remind everybody of that manufactured divide that the media and the powerful and the elites are pushing on us.
I
refuse to buy into it that my neighbors are evil.
That's why it's so important that we have open microphones, that anybody can call into a show. A week or two ago, I was at the University of Montana's football game for the military alumni reunion, and it was so fun running into, you know, well, all of our friends, frankly, but I ran into Democrat State Senator Ellie Boldman, and she's one of those folks that you might disagree with her, but you can have a good conversation, right? And she's somebody who wants to work with folks to come up with a solution. But I also thought it was interesting. She said, oh, man, am I going to get some hate over this one? Like, if she takes a photograph with a Republican, she gets hate from her fellow Democrats. And so it is shifting. But by and large, I think you're still right overall that people can disagree and still get along and everything. But it's crazy how it's shifting, though.
I agree. And to your point, I think it seems to me, you know, obviously we're all biased, right? But it seems to me that in my experience, the left is more egregious at cutting people out. I mean, I've lost friends that I've known for 20 years because they just don't like my politics or the things that I say. Or, you know, I work with a lot of men who have struggled with PTSD, and I help them work through things. And because I talk about men's issues, they jump to this conclusion that I don't care about women. But, like, I've got a wife and a mom and a sister and a daughter. I mean, so that's a nonsensical conclusion. But, yeah, I agree. I think the left is much more aggressive as far as cutting out dialogue, which they demonstrated pretty clearly with Charlie's murder.
Well, but of course, it's not just exclusive to the left. It might be more predominant with the left right now. But man, I'm talking to some of my conservative friends in Kalispell right now, and they're saying that the left is about to take over the city council because it's just hard to recruit conservatives to run for things like city council in towns like Kalispell, because not just because of the folks on the left, but because there's folks on the right that will attack you no matter what. And so why would people step up and run for these positions when they're going to just get attacked over every little thing from even the people that are supposed to be on their own side of the issues as well? And so yeah, it's sad to see, but it sounds like the left might take over the city council in a place like Kalispell that's already struggling with illegal aliens and Flathead Valley and so much more. TJ, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Let's sneak in one more caller, and then I think our guest can actually join us for a few more minutes. So we'll sneak in one more caller, and then we'll jump right into it with our guest here. Caden, go ahead and send us John and Whitefish. We've got some great KJJR callers here this morning. We'll get John and Whitefish here patched through to us if he's still on the phone lines there. Sometimes people might fall off the phone lines. Of course, Caden might be answering another call right now as we speak, or in the process of transferring that one. And then we'll get to Jeff Fink here with the USAC, which is the United States Antimony Corporation. Actually, I'll tell you what, this has taken a bit of time here. Let's just jump right into it with our guest, and then we'll get back to your phone calls here in a second. Big news out of Thompson Falls, Montana. Our guest now joining us from Thompson Falls. Jeff, thanks for being with us here this morning.
Oh, Thank you, Aaron. Great to be here.
Yeah. So you kind of heard my remarks already. This is all about making mining in America great again. This is about making mining in Montana great again. As I understand it, the USAC has been basically in operation in Thompson Falls since, what, 1969? You've been processing...
Right.
You've been processing materials at the USAC already, but this expansion allows you to not only process the materials, but to mine them as well.
We will start mining again. That's the idea. That's a little separate from the project. We'll be expanding our capacity significantly, going a six-fold increase in our production capacity here, the goal of the project.
Interesting. Okay. So talk about... It's the United States Antimony Corporation, and talk about how important these critical minerals are, the work that you're doing in Thompson Falls.
These critical minerals are essential, very national security oriented. Not a bullet is fired without antimony. It's used both in the primer and the lead, to harden the lead in the bullets, and also used in fire-resistant materials, mostly plastics, but military applications, fabrics as well. Practically anything that's fire-resistant, that's a plastic or fabric, has a little bit of antimony in it. Also used in optics or, you know, scopes, infrared sensors, which obviously have military applications, and certain electronics as well.
Yeah, so I guess production's been about, what, 50 tons per month? It'll now go to more than 300 tons, a six-fold increase from current levels.
Yeah.
And thanks for the clarification on the mining. Eventually, mining these materials is a goal, but right now this six-fold increase in the processing of these materials is huge. What does that mean, dollars and cents? Give us some of the numbers, what that means, especially for a community like Thompson Falls.
Oh, I mean, it'll bring our revenue, you know, from – give or take 2.5 to 2.75 mil a month to, you know, neighborhood of 16. And, you know, we're going to have more employees here, probably extra 15, 20 employees, which is almost, it's just doubling our workforce. And they're good paying jobs too. So we're having to pull from a little farther than we used to find employees.
Yeah, you know, you talk about high-wage jobs. You know, what can you tell us about what we're looking at here? Because I remember, you know, talking with our friend Jesse Ramos with Americans for Prosperity Montana. He grew up in Libby.
Yep.
And in Libby, Libby back in the early 2000s even, he said, you know what, a kid could graduate from Libby High School and could get a job working in the timber industry, get a job working at a mine. And you could buy a home and you could support a family and probably have a boat and a camper too. And and of course, all this radical environmentalism, a lot of these left-wing courts have shut down so much of the timber industry and stood in the way of so much of the mining activity that, you know, yeah, is the economy in Libby doing well because of all the folks that have moved in and the remote workers that can come from elsewhere? Yes. But for the kid that graduates, how do they find a high-wage job right here in Libby, right here in Thompson Falls? These are the types of opportunities, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we're going to be at 24-an-hour. I mean, no skills, straight out of high school. You're home to work and learn. Let's go. So.
That's incredible. Is there a website if people are looking for a job? Maybe they're listening in Missoula right now, but they're from Thompson Falls and they want to get back home. How can they apply for a job? What skills are you looking at? What type of a resume are you looking at?
Well, like I said, no real skills. Generally, they'll be operating forklifts, loading furnaces, you know, a little mechanical inclination, but no definitive skills are necessary. We'll eventually need a couple more for mechanics, though. And, you know, UnitedStatesAntimony.com, I don't think we have an application link, but you could, we do have the kind of contact us link where you could send an email out and we can get it in the hands of the folks at the plant for the hiring.
All right. Well, Jeff Fink, Vice President and Project Manager for the Thompson Falls Expansion Project at the USAC. Great to have you on the show. About 30 seconds to go before the break. What else do you want to tell folks across Montana?
Well, we're excited to get going, and you know, we need these minerals, and got to mine it to do it. So just be supportive, you know.
We need it in America.
All we need. Let's go.
Yeah, that's right. We need it in America. Let's mine it in America. Let's process it in America.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well said. All right. Great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, coming up after the break, we'll get to your phone calls, 406-294-0970. John in Whitefish, I think, is who we have coming up next, if I'm not mistaken. So, John, stand by. We'll get to you right after this. And if you call right now, I should be able to sneak you on before we run out of time.
Dreaming.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, big thanks to John and Whitefish for sticking around with us here. Definitely want to get to his phone call in a second. One other thing I wanted to throw out there is when it comes to antimony, we were just hearing about the importance of mining antimony in America and the Thompson Falls facility processing antimony. This came from the governor's press release. China currently controls 85% of the world's antimony production. So if you're against antimony production, go tell that to China. But the rest of us, we know we need these materials. We want them done right here in America. John in Whitefish, what's on your mind? Thanks for sticking around.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, this judiciary collapse is bigger than just Montana. The left is losing major ground. And so they're relying on activist judges, which is totally illegal, to fight their fight. But it is becoming such an issue with every nation through history. If the judiciary breaks down and becomes unbiased, we collapse as a nation. And this, you're seeing it play out in not just Montana, but across the country. These judges are a real issue, and I don't know what we do about it, but if we don't solve the judiciary issue, we are in deep trouble because they control everything, and it's becoming something that's impacting all of us. And just a side note, too, on commodities, I'm in commodities, and just from the mining side of things, you're 100% correct what you said about China. If we do not control our own mineral supply here in the United States, we will be at the beck and call of the BRIC nations that are trying to take down our sovereignty and our financial control worldwide. This is the biggest issue of our time globally, and we must maintain mining here in the United States to survive.
Great point. Great point. Yeah, sounds like you know a lot about this very topic. What was the point you made right before you pivoted to commodities? You made a great point, and it got me to think of something. And then, of course, you made another great point, and I lost track.
Just that the left is using these activist judges fight their fight because they're losing a lot of ground. And activist judges are illegal. They're not supposed to be doing that. So we need to find a resolution on how to stop activism in the judiciary, because once a judiciary in a nation breaks down to bias, we fall as a nation.
That's
so
right.
We've got to try.
That's
to
what happened.
To
how many
the breakdown of
how
the
many South American countries did that happen to? How many Central American? You know, look at countries that were once crowns of their continent that then fell into banana republics. What happened? They lost their judiciary. They lost the faith and trust in their judicial system. That's why I think the radical left is undermining the judiciary by design. Because if you want to transform the country into something else, you have to undermine every institution that's out there. The same point that John and Whitefish just made was made by Brad Johnson. Not the Brad Johnson who used to be on the PSC, but Brad Johnson, former CIA guy who writes for the Epoch Times. He came out and did some events with Jim Brown when he was running for the Montana Supreme Court, and he made that very point as a CIA guy the caller from Whitefish just made. By the way, that reminds me, maybe I'll see you at the Whitefish Homecoming Parade this afternoon. That should be a ton of fun. Let's see, who do we got for our next caller coming through here? I think we got Skip in Hamilton, don't we, coming in next, Caden? If you want to send Skip my way, there we go. I think we got Skip on with you now. Skip, what's on your mind?
Hey, thank you. I had been having to listen to the radio because I'm on the phone. All I was getting was music waiting for you, Aaron. So I just turned the radio off. So meanwhile, I wanted you to please tell everybody it's important that, and for me to tell them it's important that in this election cycle coming up, that Judge Dan Wilson is running again for our Supreme Court. And that's another step that we might, certainly take advantage of this time and get that man elected, like we did Corey Swanson last time. It amazes me that we left out Dan Wilson. People couldn't see through nebula that the hard left was spending money on trying to keep Dan Wilson out, and it succeeded. We need to get that man on our Supreme Court, sir.
You just answered the question. Skip, thanks for the call. You just answered the question of the last caller, which is what can we do about these activist judges and justices? Host a fundraiser in Whitefish for Judge Dan Wilson, and then host another one. And if you can contribute to Dan Wilson, for Montana Supreme Court. That'll help with our Montana Supreme Court. And then at the federal level, President Trump is doing his part. He's got two seats to fill on the federal bench right now. That is going to be huge for the state of Montana. I know we're very short on time right now. Do we have enough time to sneak Randy and Livingston in? What do you think, Caden? I know we got like only about a minute to go. We'll give it a try. Randy and Livingston, I know we only got about 30 seconds or so to go here, but you get the final word. What do you want to tell folks across Montana?
I'd like to tell him, after this situation with Charlie Kirk, the horror of that, next time they go to a school board meeting, ask a simple question. Ask them to tell you whether they are teaching the We the People Constitution program in their schools, which should be they started in my school, 4th grade, 5th, 8th, and 11th. And it needs to be in there. In California, they threw it right out the window after 2 years. Of course, they don't like social studies at all, say, in California. But that is an awesome program. It's been a government program, and government used it to assist places like Estonia, Romania.
So this is the We the People program. All right. Randy, thanks for the call, sir. We're out of time.